We're back to the Neil Haley Show special edition as we are going ahead now. The Neil Haley Show special simulcast with the Smarter by the Day podcast, also on the Cowboy 347 Net Podcast Network. How are you, Damon? I know you're excited about our guests. It's going to be a great conversation. And I always like the synergy of doing a simulcast with you. How are you?
Oh, man, I'm honored to be here. I am super honored to be here. I'm grateful for everybody's time, having the audacity to be creatives. And it's also an honor to introduce first and initially Miss Eleanor Earle.
How are you, Eleanor? Tell us a little bit about yourself and who else is with us today.
Oh, certainly. Well, first, thank you so much for having me and having us. Again, I'm Eleanor Earle. I'm CEO and founder of EL Earle Entertainment, but I'm also a partner in the Whitfield Entertainment Group Studios based in Washington, D.C. And I do a few other things, but most importantly, I'm partnering with these amazing gentlemen who are here today for a very special project called Zooper World. And you're going to hear all about it very shortly. But without further ado, I'd like to introduce my wonderful partners, starting with the Rax Play partners, Carlos Davis and Norville Robinson, who are co-founders of an amazing startup in gaming called Rax Play, and they'll be able to tell you even more about it. I became aware of them and decided to partner with them. And as a result of that, I reached back and thought about, oh, what amazing musical artists do I know? And Supernova came to mind. And so first and foremost, so we have one of the founding partners of Supernova, Davey Brown, here with us, and his partner, Racel Cook. I reached out to them and said, okay, this is like the perfect moment for you guys. What do you have? If you had a chance to create your own game, what would that look like? What would it sound like? What would it feel like? What would it be about? And guess what? They came straight to the table with a brilliant concept, which is called Zooper World. And without sharing any more, I'm going to go ahead and pass it back over to Mr. Haley.
Yeah, you know, it's so great. Great introduction, Eleanor. I'm going to go to Norvell first with my question for Norvell, specifically kind of the whole putting music and gaming together. It fits always, right? Doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. When we talk about the best games, yes, you know, they're always accompanied by awesome soundtracks.
So, oh, absolutely. And what do you see in that spot, the process of the awesome soundtracks, how you put something in together, but this time it's really a little different in the way you're making the gaming and music together with the branding of the music, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So we thought, you know, we enjoy music, but there's a problem in the way that music is being monetized. And, you know, we being from, you know, a gaming background, we said, what could we do about this? So, you know, we came across a lot of conclusions. So we started off being a VR company, you know, so how could we immerse people into the world of music? And we think that's something that people really want to do. You know, they really want a new way to connect with the artists that they love to listen to and support.
Now that's powerful. Eleanor, being the conduit to this phenomenal fellowship and the idealism of combining these worlds, right? In terms of the level of empathy that you can promote, right, to connect with the possible, you know, client avatar, you know, what is the ideal goal and the ideal message, right, that you want this Zooper World to promulgate?
Well, ultimately, it was, again, really wonderful. And as I said before, regarding Supernova as a band, you know, a well-established band, incredibly right, talented, with a very clear message. Their message is the message that we want to project in this game, which is about love and bringing the world together and celebrating diversity, celebrating uniqueness. And all of those things are rolled into one in the Supernova brand, which now is going to translate into the Zooper World brand. And we want to bring people together through this. And it's going to be awesome doing so, through gaming and music, their music specifically.
That's amazing.
Absolutely. So let's talk about Zubanova. Why did you guys decide that you wanted to do this? Go, Davey, first.
Well, I think when it comes to music in general, it's just one of those things that can bring everyone together, and it doesn't really matter who you are or where you're from. Like, you know, if it's a good song, you know, it brings a lot of people together. And I think that correlates largely with gaming as well. So for us, it was a perfect fit. You know, any platform that allows us to kind of bring people together for whatever reason, you know, and then we try to put like our positive spin on it, you know, is just a blessing to us. So, yeah, so I think coming from that music background and seeing how music sort of unifies people, you know, the gaming world was just right up our alley. So, yeah, it just went hand in hand with us.
Love it. Anything to add to that? Go ahead.
Yeah, no, definitely. You know, I used to be a gamer as well. And so when they started integrating music into the gaming world, that really blew my mind. I mean, I could go, I'm not even going to say how old games I used to play that artists used to do their games and stuff like that, Journey. But
Sega.
But the thing is that it really blew my mind once we were presented with the opportunity. Thank you, Eleanor, and thank you, Rax Play, because it really gave me the idea and the imagination how unlimited this, like limitless, should I say, that we could go with this. And not only having the opportunity of building our own world within the Fortnite gaming and incorporating, you know, soundtracks and compilations to these games, but the opportunity to, instead of going out there and promoting an album, now we're going out there promoting games that have our music to these, you know, games and stuff like that. And so I think it's a different approach and opportunity for us to do something different in a different industry as well, and bring it all together and bring people together and positivity to all, you know, for the sake of positivity at the end of the day.
I hear positivity being the most common word used here. Brother Novell, you know, utilizing the computer science background that you have and you being an expert, right, coming to this fellowship, what is it like, man, interacting with, you know, Brother Russell, David Brown, and Sister Earl, and their seniority in the genres of their expertise? What are you retaining? What are you learning that's like iron sharpens iron, that's making you want to show up to make sure that this positivity is, you know, the absolute most impactful, right, experience with this group?
Oh, it's been amazing. You know, me, I'm more of a quiet, logical kind of guy, and they kind of bring out, you know, the opposite. You know, they're high energy, you know, very creative, you know. So I think you're going to get the both worlds. That's how it's been, you know, working with them. You know, they bring the tempo, you know, they bring the creativity, and you know, I'm kind of the one that's, you know, grounding things, I should say. But yeah, it's been an amazing experience, and just hearing, you know, the ideas that they can come up with has been a real, real joy.
Now, I want to go to Carlos, because I was reading your bio and I'm so interested. I think you guys, Norvell and Carlos, are seeing Web 3.0 is coming, and you better be ready. So, Carlos, tell us more about your involvement in all how you're doing this. And I love the whole thing about AI gaming, and we're really seeing specifically what the future of Web 3.0 is about to happen. And you guys are already way ahead of the curve.
So I come from a design background. I started developing games about 5 years ago. And since I started doing that, I've been involved in a couple of AI projects, as well as some VR and more recently gaming. We did a project with an artist last year named Billy Rex, where we released a game in Web3. And something really, really interesting that we found was that people are willing to spend money on their favorite artists. They just have to, one, own something, and two, there has to be a community built. So something like this was difficult to do in Web 2 because we're working with these very, very large platforms. So we put something on, Steam or PlayStation. This would take, potentially months to put on there. They would take a cut, and we wouldn't be able to charge a certain amount. But we were able to bring about 2,000 of his fans over to a closed environment, and they could spend over $100 for a video game. And they spent this much because, one, they owned it, and two, this was something that was exclusively for them, right? This wasn't anything that was third party. It was in an enclosed community. And before the crash, that showed us something amazing, that okay, there's a huge creator economy there, and the fans are thirsting for something that's new and something where they actually have an involvement in. So I think that once Web3, picks back up and something becomes simple for the average person to be onboarded, I think there's not only going to be a revolution of, the creator economy, but there's also going to be a new wave of people interacting with these creators and forming these communities to where they're not just spending, $10 a month on Spotify or what is Netflix now, like $19 a month. They're actually spending this money and they're owning something, and they get to actually interact with these communities rather than passively consuming content.
When you think about Roblox, you think about some of these other gaming things where the gaming community is really going. It's going to happen. It's just going to happen. Just wait. And then everyone's going to start going, moving over to Web 3.0. But go ahead, Damon, with your next question.
Brother Carlos, man, as a award-winning designer, right? And being a part of starting, businesses in multiple different genres of technology, and just talking about the ensured success of the e-com community that you're looking to, thrive in. What is the vision that you see that can be, the paradigm moment that makes Zupa World, right, an asset?
I think the paradigm moment is going to be when we can actively monetize the space for brands. So once we're able to actually sell off plots of the land inside of the space, and let's just, I'm not going to throw a specific brand out there, but let's just say brand A can come in there. They can put a store in there and they can have, specific experiences. So rather people can come in there and play a specific game, or rather they can interact with, a specific video. I think that that's going to be the moment, because it's going to incentivize brands to come in there, and it's also going to incentivize people to come in there because they can go into individual worlds for very, very specific reason. And I think that that's going to be the true meaning of the metaverse, when each world has very, very unique drawing and selling points.
And I think that the metaverse, and I'm going to go back to Eleanor in this, I think the metaverse is already developing. And like I said, Roblox, kids that are younger in their ages, like 8 to 8, 16, some of those other ones, they're already interacting so much, ready for the metaverse. I think it's the people my age and older that are not ready for the metaverse, and maybe even people in their 40s. So that's the point, that once things like you, what you guys are creating, is going to change things. When you know you can interact with your artist, you know you can get a piece of the pie, as Gary Vee was really calling the push till we just saw the whole push of ChatGPT and AI. It kind of slowed things down, but it also sped things up. So I'm expecting when these VR headsets come out with Apple, that we're going to see a huge push in the metaverse. I mean, Threads was supposed to give it a little bit with, again, some of the things. So I'm really studying this, and I'm telling you guys are way ahead of the curve. And I guess artists are always the first people to come up with this way, have ways of monetization. So Eleanor, can you explain more about the Fortnite Developer Fund?
Actually, yeah, I can do that, but I think the person who's even better to do that will be Carlos Davis. It's a wonderful fund that is something that we can tap into, when we being this particular group, but all artists out there. And so, Carlos, would you mind going into greater detail about it?
Of course. So, Fortnite is one of the most popular games on the planet. It has over 200 million monthly players, and the developer of Fortnite is Epic Games. In addition to Fortnite, Epic Games also has Unreal Engine, which is one of the most popular game development softwares in the world. So, what they've done is they merged the two. They took Fortnite and they took Unreal Engine, and they're allowing creators to come in and develop games, then put them directly on Fortnite. And in order to incentivize creators, they have a fund saying, okay, if you come in, you create a game and you put it on our platform, we're going to pay you X amount. And the payment is based off of the amount of people you're able to draw in. So over the next year, they're paying out over $400 million for developers to come make games and just bring as many people as possible to the platform to expand their content offering.
And that's the difference. The economy in Web 3.0 is going to be so much different than how they only pay creators very little on other platforms, Carlos. That's the thing you see. Look at Spotify doesn't pay hardly anything to artists. And then you think about all these creators on other social media platforms, the same deal. They don't pay them enough for what they do. Even X, when they were trying to say, oh, we're going to pay creators to get them off Instagram, it's not happening. But I think the numbers came out that 90% goes to creators in NFTs and stuff. Do you think it's going to continue to be that same theme, Carlos? And then I'm going to let Damon get back to the next question.
Yeah, I think with things like gaming and also with NFT specifically, that is going to remain with the creators because this is something that's a lot more interactive. When you look at Instagram, when you look at Spotify, these are very passive. So you're not really able to get that much data on what people are doing. Okay, you have a scroll, you have people clicking on it, and you have how long they look. But when you talk about NFTs, these are actively being sold. These are actively being talked about in Discords. When you talk about gaming, you have just an unimaginable amount of data. So I think because of that data, the game is a lot more valuable from a brand standpoint and also from the company standpoint. So they're willing to go ahead and pay the creators because they can monetize so much data on the back end.
Man, I hear so many different avenues of scaling when I hear Brother Davis talk. Rossell and Davey, now you guys, coming from, being a huge part of the culture and music, right? And obviously, music is a part of a ton of things in the world today. It's what makes the world go round. In terms of you guys and where you guys have been and where you are now, what do you guys, besides positivity, right? What are you guys looking to scale the most, right? On a linear and exponential level with all of this education, merging with technology and integration?
I think for me, I'm digging the fact that it gives us an opportunity to scale in the sense of like business for artists. So, and not only does like a game like Super World, provide an opportunity for us as artists, but it also provides an opportunity for other artists as well. Not only in our game in and of itself, but also just as like an inspiration or a motivation or an example that like, hey, we can all do this and basically bring this new model to the forefront. I mean, we're in the Wild West right now, right? We're basically pioneering, these avenues that are unmapped at this point. And so I think some of the really cool opportunities are like things like Carlos was mentioning about bringing in brands, brand A, brand B, to the point where even a character, like people love buying things for their character. So let's say shoes, for example. You can buy shoes, but not only are you getting shoes on your character, but it can also ship those same exact shoes in real life, can ship directly to your door. So then you got people like looking like their character, and it
Oh, cool.
just and it just brings in these new ideas of revenue that were previously unseen, or just not really accessible to the average artist, to where like eventually this type of stuff could eventually become the norm. So I think as a scale, I'm hoping it comes from something that can be like a seed from maybe more of artists on the pioneer side and then can eventually become something that's just, normalized in general.
Oh, that's amazing. And the reason why I asked that, because, in similarities in terms of the tech industry, you got Chameleon there, you got Kevin Durant, Travis Scott. We can go down the lines in terms of the different avenues of entrepreneurship that you can take, outside of being artists and producers in the music industry. Sister Earl, you kind of play a huge role in like revolution, right? Regarding, the seniority of Rossell and Davey and Sweat Equity and what they put into their brand. In terms of, just Zupa World, right? How can you sit in a creative space consistently to make sure that, everybody is involved at all times? Because this is very huge in terms of the masterminds that you have involved here.
It was really wonderful. It comes down to the core skills of basic communication, right? And being open to that. And what's really wonderful about our team is that everyone is very communicative and very open to hearing original ideas, new thoughts. If there's a new direction that we want to go in, we're all open to hearing it out. And we have a regular schedule of weekly meetings, virtually via text. We communicate in all forms, not smoke signals, but everything
Right.
like we're doing it to make sure that we're on the same page. And what's important for us being specifically speaking of RaxPlay and myself and coming together, we've really wanted to make sure that for the artists, that they are very happy that everything that we're doing reflects their overall vision. And then also assisting them with tapping into other areas of creativity for vision. So everyone stays very open. And yeah, by having regular meetings and conversations and just agreeing that we all respect one another and what we do individually and know that collectively it's just going to be a home run.
Absolutely. And Elmore, you're that project manager that needs to make things happen. So, guys, best place to go to be a part of this because this is huge. Who wants to tell us best place to find information on all this? Because I interview you guys forever when it comes to Web 3.0. And I think you're glad you're hearing me say Web 3.0. We don't want to say AR, VR. It's so much more and it's going to be so gigantic. And people that don't jump on this now are going to be kicking themselves later, like the dot-com age. That's the bottom line. Go ahead, guys.
Definitely,
Where can we find info?
definitely. Carlos, do you want to do? Carlos.
Sure. So you can go to raxplay.io. You can also go to Russell, what's the Zupa World site or Zupa Nova site?
Zupanovaofficial.com.
So you can go to both of our sites, and we also have press all around the internet. So if you just search our names on Google, you'll see some awesome.
All right, guys. Okay, and that was a special simulcast of the Neil Haley Show and Smarter Die by the Day podcast, guys. Take care.